Joe Lacob has joined us on Sports Byline USA, majority owner of the Golden State Warriors, along with Peter Guber and others. They paid a record $450 million for the franchise. And Joe, you went to UC Irvine, you went to UCLA, and you went to Stanford, and you've got a master's degree in biostatistics with providing you, and you say it provided you with the background in statistics that helped drive your passion for sports. Now, when I read that, I was a little bit surprised. Can you explain to me what that means? How did biostatistics drive your passion for sports?
Well, I don't know if I actually said it that way, but I will say that from the time I was a little kid, I've always been very statistics-oriented or statistical, and maybe that comes from baseball. As a little kid, that love of baseball. I remember playing Strat-O-Matic, and you probably – I don't know if anybody plays Strat-O-Matic anymore. Everyone's on the internet and fantasy leagues and so on. But in those days, played a lot of Strat-O-Matic, and it was and that whole idea that you could statistically perhaps get to what a season might come out to by, you know, rolling this thing, going through it, rolling the dice constantly, was very interesting to me. Could you really simulate that? That's what Strat-O-Matic was about. And I think when I mean, I've always had that interest in statistics, and so I also had an interest in healthcare from an academic perspective and medicine. And when I did my master's in public health, actually, biostatistics as the area I focused in, I think it's, you know, they were related to some extent. The fact that one was healthcare really didn't matter. It was statistics. It was all that love of that kind of technical background, if you will.
What is the difference between the dynamics of normal business and the dynamics of sports? Because we're talking about, you know, I often wonder about this, because sports, while it is a business, there are some dynamics that come into play that is so different than other businesses. Am I right about that? If I'm wrong, correct me.
Sports as a business is very different than many other businesses, obviously. But I think other businesses can be good training for it. And in my case, I think everything I've done to some extent probably has played a role in order to help me become hopefully a better sports team owner and be in the sports business. So I think sports business is different in one fundamental way that is hard to simulate, and that is that it's the media all day, every day, all the time, and you have to be prepared for that. I don't think any other business is quite like that.
Are there a lot of things in sports, the business of sports, out of your control as compared to being involved with running a company?
I don't know if it's that different. There are things out of your control in any business.
Well, let me give you an example. You invest $100 million, sure. $50 million in a ball player, and first season in, he breaks his leg or something. You know what I mean? Those are dynamics that you don't normally find in regular business. And you touched on the other thing, and I want to get a little bit more into that. And that is the fact that most CEOs that I've known have had control over the way the public views their company to a great degree. But you have to listen to what they say on the sports talk shows. You have to read the paper. And I've said this before. Athletes, I criticize the fans because I said most of you couldn't do what athletes and owners do. And that is, you know, how many of you, when you go into the office the next day, have to read about the bad game you had the day before or get booed when you walk into a stadium like an athlete does if they have a bad are having a bad season? There are a lot of dynamics that are different than normal business.
By the way, not the next day. Probably like within minutes.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what's changed so much even now compared to, say, 10 or 15 years ago. It's hugely different. Everything is instantaneous in sports. And, you know, bloggers and media and everything. It's just everything is so fast and so reactionary. A piece of it, you can't hold news. I mean, one thing I've learned is you just can't hold news in the sports world. You might as well just have it all out there because there's no way to hold it. So I think sports is an incredibly dynamic, fast-moving. Everyone wants the information immediately, and the internet and the media is all over it, and so you just better be prepared for it.
Tell me about the game plan for developing a sports business as it compares to a game plan for any other typical type of business, because I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think you can't go into this with a very short-term view. You have to have a long-term plan. And you do have to do that in most businesses, in fact. You have to have a long-term plan. You have to, if you're going to develop a technology for a technology company, you've got to see who else is in there, who else might be developing a technology that might be competitive. You've got to do all those things and have a long-term plan. And the same thing in sports. You've got to have a plan long-term. Now, you also have to react to things that happen because these are humans. and they don't always perform exactly the way they're supposed to perform. They get hurt. They get injured. Last year, David Lee, you know, we were 6-2, I believe, to start off the season in our first, under the new ownership, our first season, looking like a good year. And who would have ever thought that the man would sustain a human bite in his arm and, you know, really essentially affected the rest of his season? And, of course, we had a pretty good season. We improved, but I think we could have been better.
Are you comfortable with the dynamic of today's professional athlete? I mean, obviously, they're talked about, they're blogged about, they do things off the court, off the field, that makes it a challenge, a bigger challenge for ownership today?
Yes. I don't really think about that. I try not to think about that too often. There's certainly a role. Professional athletes are very much, they have an image to uphold. They're trying to create an image that will help them make money financially outside of the world of sports. And so so some of that's important. I think we try to help them. We try to guide them to some extent. But I don't know. We don't worry about it too much. Most of them have pretty good advice. And in our case, I think we have players that are pretty well advised, and they're a really good group of people. I think having a good group of character people is very important to start with.
One of the things that I've found over the years is that the fans don't understand the athletes making the money that they make. And I've tried to get them to look at the bigger picture, that they only have a short window to be able to make it. But you're a man that worked very hard for the millions of dollars that you have garnered, that have made it possible for you to be able to buy the Golden State Warriors. Tell me about the thought process that allows you to pay somebody or any athlete to be paid multi-millions of dollars for playing a game, because that's what I hear from the fans. You know, is it something that you're comfortable with?
I have to be honest, yes. I don't have a problem with it. These are just numbers. You can't just look at it and say, well, we're going to pay this guy $12 million a year. I mean, compared to most things for a 5 or 6 month job, that is insane, right? So you can't look at it that way. You have to say, these are numbers. This is 12, this is a 6, this is a 4. It all adds up to 60. You know, and it's like putting together a puzzle. We have to put together a roster. We have so much to work with. And, you know, put 5 and 6 and 12 and 5 and all comes up to the right number, and hopefully we've got a roster that makes sense.
So you take out the personal aspect of it. You don't even think about that. You only look at it in terms of as a business and as a budget.
Well, I mean, we look at the budget. We look at all of it, I guess, is the truth. But I'm just saying I can't worry about the fact that someone's making $15 million a year, and that seems insane. We really can't look at it that way.
Yeah, you know, when I think about the athletes, I certainly know what their talents are, and that the money that they're making, somebody must be paying it because they feel that they, you know, they're going to make something off of it. What's the justification for being in sports? I had an owner of an expansion team in the NFL tell me, when I said to him, I said, well, you're going to be paying $1 billion to put this expansion team on the field. And he said, Ronnie, $1 billion ain't going to change my lifestyle one bit.
Well, I don't know who that was. $1 billion, I think, would affect most people.
Well, it trust me, not him.
No, I look, they're very big numbers, and the numbers keep getting bigger. And if you sit around and think about it too long, it'll drive you crazy. So I don't think you can do that. I think there's a pie to split up. This is what it's a business. This is what it earns. And everyone gets a share of it. That's what we just went through, the whole collective bargaining thing. The players get so much. We have to pay for other expenses for other employees, and I don't know. It's a business. I think of it all just in terms of numbers and pieces of the pie.
Joe, are you more comfortable with this than, say, other possible owners? And I'm going to tell you the reason why I'm making this statement is that you come from the venture capital world. You know what it's like to raise money, throw it into a pot for a company that you don't know whether it's going to make it or not. And it's almost the same way with sports, in a sense. You don't know whether the athlete is going to bring you the success that you need to have or not. So I would think somebody with your background might be a little bit more comfortable with that.
Well, there are a couple differences, actually, which make this more difficult. I come from the venture capital world, startups, if you will. And in startups, the way we always approached doing it was we looked at all the technology. We looked at what the company might become. We did some projections. We figured out who we had to hire. But we staged the risk, meaning when you start the company, you only put in a couple of $1 million or $5 million. You get to a certain point. Then some of the risk was removed in that venture. We'd put in some more money, bring on some more investors, and stage the risk as you go forward. So there wasn't really, you know, $200 million or $400 million involved in the company at an early stage. Each way along the way, we remove some of the risk, put more money in. That doesn't happen here. It's all in at once. You're spending a lot of money. You're not starting something with a small amount of money and seeing how it works. You're paying a guy, let's say, you know, $12 million. That's it. He's got to work. So I think that part is different. This is playing a big boy's game.
We only have 20 seconds before we have to break here, but did you ever think you would own an NBA team?
Yes.
Based on?
I wanted to.
So your determination was the thing that decided it?
I don't know that I had a right to think that as a child or as a young kid, but I absolutely, from the time I was under 10, I can't tell you the age, I wanted to own an NBA team. I wanted to be a team owner. It just seemed like a really cool thing to do, and I've set that as a goal all my life. I mean, I love venture capital. I love starting companies.
Hold that thought
for
just a second. Let me take a break. We're going to continue with Joe Lacob, the owner of the Golden State Warriors, on Sports Byline.